The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.
Hello and welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are and whatever time of day it is that you are listening in on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial. We are right here in Curry County, Oregon, Brookings, Oregon, to be specific, on KCIW Radio, Curry Coast Community Radio. This is community radio at its finest. And you know we're broadcasting from Brookings Harbor, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest, about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. This is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet, which you're about to discover today. Where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea, Harbor Brookings is home to me. Now listen, we serve up a supreme selection of everyday deliciousness and language learning and growth. We talk fast here, so you gotta listen fast. If you're taking notes, write quickly, okay? I'm your host, Misty Young, and I'd love to introduce my very distinguished guest today, Mayor Jake Pieper, Mayor of Brookings, Oregon. Welcome, Mayor. So glad to have you here.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Really appreciate that you took time out of your schedule. It took quite a while for us to kind of get it together, didn't it?
It did. It was kind of hit and miss, but I'm here. You're here. Yeah.
I love it. What do you love the most about living in Brookings?
The people. Brookings is full of some incredible, incredible people. Very giving. It's an incredibly giving community.
I agree. Yeah. That's one of the things I love. I mean, in my introduction, I always say it's home of one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And I find that to be true, having grown up in Southern California, where it's just push, rush, push, rush, push, rush all the time. It's just nonstop action.
Yeah.
And the vibe there, you know, I'm wavering my hand quickly here.
Yeah, it's a different vibe.
It's
yeah.
a way different vibe. I love it.
Yeah, I visit there every so often and then always enjoy coming back to Brookings.
Yeah, me too. Me too. In fact, this weekend we were in Reno, where we lived for a few decades. So grew up in Southern California, then moved to Reno, lived in Reno for a long time. And when we would go to Reno after having moved away, we were like, oh, we're going home for a little while, visit kids, grandkids, that kind of thing. This time we were in Reno, we were like, oh, God, we couldn't wait to get back home
to
Brookings.
Yep.
Yeah, there's something just so peaceful here, you know?
It is. It's an incredible place. It's an incredible place to live and to raise a family. And like I said, just an incredibly giving community. Every time I turn around, I hear of another organization full of 20 or 30 people volunteering their time to give something.
Yes, exactly. You know, in fact, I live in Harbor, and you're the mayor of Brookings, but Harbor's not a town, right? What is the deal with Harbor?
Harbor's actually a town, just not, it's not an incorporated city.
Right.
So it's a township south of the river.
I like it, you know? It's peaceful and it's easygoing. And I mean, I wouldn't mind if there were sidewalks and curbs and stuff, but those things all come with their own, you know, their own obligations and tax structures and that kind of thing, right?
That's just it. And you, to have services provided by a city, you have to pay for them. So, you know, Harbor's a nice little township and low taxes, and people like it out there, and they don't want the heavier taxes and the heavier government regulations, and that's great, and that's cool.
It's one of those sort of rugged individualism things. That's what I feel like it is, you know, like people there are like digging in their heels.
Oh, absolutely. It's just Curry County. It's still Curry County.
Well, you know, it is what it is. I'm curious about your work. So talk about, and this is how we actually met. I'd love to tell how we met. My husband and I walked into Hearth and Home one day and said hello to Bob and to Rusty. We can't forget Rusty. Is Rusty still there?
Rusty's still kicking.
Yes.
So
yes.
is Bob. He's still kicking.
And Pop is still kicking. That's awesome. And we came into the shop. I think we came in, we were looking for a wood stove, like a pellet stove. And it was kind of fun. Your dad, you know, we did business with your dad and love your dad. He's a super cool guy. And I think one or two of your kids might have been there sort of sweeping.
They hang out.
And then at the end of it, he was like, yeah, my son is going to come and install it. He's the mayor. And we were like, what? The mayor's going to install them with it? What?
Yeah, that's always a kind of a crack up. Oftentimes when I'm at someone's house, I don't mention it until after I'm all done. And people just really get tickled when they find out that, you know, it was the mayor that swept their chimney or fixed their hot tub or something.
Nice.
And, and a lot of times they look at me and I think they want to call bull on it, but I'll show them a card or something to prove that I am I am in fact the mayor, but I work for a living too.
Well, yeah, I mean, this isn't one of those cities where, you know, it's not Los Angeles. You're not going to get paid to be mayor for the rest of your life, right?
Right. Well, and if you look around, the state of Oregon is hugely volunteer with inside of, especially local government. But even the higher up government, our pay scales for elected officials are quite a bit lower, especially in California.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not paid as mayor. None of the councilors are paid. So it's something that we give to the community. And I think it's a good thing to be volunteer. It definitely, the only motivation really you have is just to give and for the betterment of the community. You're not there trying to feed your family. You know, you're not making your livelihood. You're not making your living from doing it. It's just a service.
Did I really truly just hear you say that nobody gets paid? The mayor doesn't get paid? You guys, not even like a stipend?
Nope.
Or
nope. Council. There's nothing. I mean, we can recoup, you know, our expenses for the job that we do there. I know most of us don't.
Wow.
I sign all the city checks and I rarely sign one like a gasoline reimbursement for a counselor.
So you're completely a volunteer organization.
Yep.
Wow. That's got to be tough when you're a volunteer and then you kind of get put up on a signpost, if you will, and people take pot shots, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, we sign up for that. When you run for office, you sign up for that. So, you know, a lot of that just kind of comes with the territory, but it is definitely the political climate in this area and nationwide, obviously, it's a rougher time to be in public service, for sure.
Right, no doubt about it. What made you decide to run for office originally?
Now keep in mind, this was quite a while ago, and I had really zero experience in any form of government. And like you mentioned, our business downtown, and there were some proposed changes for downtown development standards. And in my young, patriotic 25-year-old mind, that was Big Brother telling me what I could do.
Right.
So that's originally what got me involved. And then obviously after a few years, I learned a lot about the role of government and listened to people and what the community was asking for, and realized that, you know, there's a real role that our community wants the city to play and how this city looks moving forward. So I've accepted the role of city government, but I do advocate for limited government. Just, it's, for lack of a better term, necessary evil, you know.
Right, right.
It's just something we have to have. Police, fire, water, and sewer, those
gotta
are the foundational things of city government. Everything else is just icing, but that's really what we're there for. So I try to stay focused on that, police, fire, water, and sewer.
Police, fire, water, and sewer. I love that that those are some of the topics that keep you moving forward. I'm curious a little bit about, well, actually, I have to just tell you this because this is just weird. Ironically, last night, I rarely watch TV, but we had driven 8 hours last night, and then I did this panel, and then I was kind of tired. And so my husband said, hey, you know, you want to watch a movie? There's a John Wayne movie on. Well, if it's John Wayne, I'm going to watch it.
Sure.
And it was The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Old school movie. I think it was in black and white. And at the height of the movie, it has to do with the star of the show, which is Jimmy Stewart, is in the show. Jimmy Stewart gets elected to Congress, but there's this whole fight about territory and statehood and this and that. And they're talking about, you know, you said police, fire. What were the four?
Water, things? Sewer.
Police, fire, water, and sewer. And there was this whole topic about, you know, the ranchers want this and they're ruling with their heavy hand. And,
right.
But there has to be, in city or state or whatever politics, there's a give and take, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's compromise. And people that get involved in government, you learn that pretty quickly. If you really want to be effective and have input into really what's going on and make a difference, you have to be able to compromise.
Right.
Because you realize very quick that there's nothing, it's not a monarchy. So you've got to work with each other, give and take, and just find some compromise that we can live with.
You're really always looking for the common ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to. You have to find the common denominator if people want to move things forward.
Yeah, if you want to move in a direction, you have to find common ground.
Love it. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Speaking of that, it seemed like it took a long time for the Railroad Street project to come through. And I was frustrated. I was like, oh, I'm having to drive around cones and there's guys and there's flaggers and this and that. But once it was done, it's so impressive. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, it turned out beautifully. It did, you know, it did take a while. And the other, before railroad was done, some of those, kind of inside smaller downtown streets were redone. And that took a long time too.
Yeah.
But, you know, railroad was the finish to a, 15-year project to improve downtown.
Yeah.
And now that it's done, you see the traffic that's down there.
Yes.
And a lot, there's a lot more stable businesses on railroad. A
yeah.
lot of buildings that used to just kind of be a revolving door for
yes.
businesses, they're staying open.
Yep.
And it's just, it's really great. It opened up a big area down there for good traffic flow and the possibility to have a sustainable business.
Yeah, I love it. And it seems like it's really become it's the locals' route.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
everybody comes up and I've mentioned this before on shows on here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, which, by the way, if you've just tuned in, thank you for joining us here on KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio, broadcasting out of Brookings, Oregon. We're visiting today with Mayor Jake Pieper of Brookings, Oregon, one of the smaller towns on the coast, but one of the most precious towns here on the coast, in my opinion.
The most precious.
The most. For sure, it is the most. You know, I've taken this tour all the way up the coast and all the way back down, and I'm excited to be doing it again really soon. My mom lives essentially in the same place in the state of Washington that I live in the state of Oregon, right? So she's in the very bottommost corner of Washington in a town called Ocean Shores. So to get there, you got to go all the way up the coast of Oregon. There's other ways to go too, but why would I?
Why would you? Yeah.
Right? And then you got to kind of go inland and then come back out to the coast. And so I'm really excited to go do that pretty soon in the next week or so. When I think about our little town and what we have here, and I think about what the history of it looks like, and you can see the history. I mean,
absolutely.
We can walk around anywhere and see the history. And then I think about the current people that live here, and I've brought this up on other shows. People don't know the street names for the most part. Now, I bet you do know the street names.
Most of them.
Most people are like, well, you're going to take a left at Dairy Queen,
yep.
right?
Yep. Dairy Queen. You know where the post office is. You know,
yeah. right,
yep.
right, right, right.
Yep.
So it's kind of fun to know that you probably do know the street names. I'm learning them, you know, but most people don't know them.
Most people don't know
them. Most people don't know them. And that's kind of endearing about small town life.
Yeah, it's fine. And, because turn right at the Dairy Queen works.
right,
and
yeah.
everything, how far away is it? 5 minutes. Everything's 5 minutes.
Everything's
about
five minutes.
Be there in 5 minutes.
It could be seven.
Seven, maybe.
right. If you're going
yeah.
across the bridge, you're going to go to Harbor. It
yeah.
might be nine.
Yeah.
Right. I know. It's pretty cool. What I'm curious is, what about first of all, let me back up. Are there term limits? Do you have a term limit, or what's your plan like for your next service?
Well, there are not term limits. It's a little early for me to plan the next election cycle.
Sure.
The mayoral term is only 2 years, where councilors are four.
Oh, wow.
So I'm up every 2 years and was, just started in January, my 2 year term. And I don't know. I'll wait and see. I've been doing it for a long time, and there's still a few things that I'd like to see happen, things that we've been, working on for a long time that I'd like to see come to fruition before I leave. But
yeah,
I think my time is sunsetting, though. I mean,
yeah.
it's coming to a close.
Sure.
I've got like 12 years. So at the end of this term, that's a long time.
It's a long time. When you look out into the future for Brookings and Harbor, or just the region, let's just sort of talk regionally, what does success look like to you in the really big picture, either functionally the way the town is laid out, or the way the streets work, or the way the people are? I mean, what do you see as success, let's say 25 years down the line?
This is just from the city's perspective, a successful city, one that's financially sustainable
yep.
and financially viable. And
yep.
we're on a good track for that. I believe that currently the city is successful, especially when you look at different governing bodies and governing jurisdictions in this county. The city of Brookings is really doing pretty well. there's some things I'm looking forward to. One, having some incredibly large loans paid off, which would be really nice.
Yeah.
We're just a couple years off from, you know, paying for our wastewater treatment plant, which is the largest debt that this city carries.
So that money, when right now there's money allocated to pay that debt, what happens to that money when that debt is paid? Now, does it just go back to the general fund?
Well, no. The sewer plant's paid for by sewer utility rates. So it's not general fund money. And when that loan is paid off, which is about $1 million a year payment for that debt service,
it's a big payment.
When that's paid off, we're going to have a pretty big discussion about, you know, what do we do? We could drop utility rates down considerably. We could try to, you know, catch up on a lot of deferred maintenance, a generation actually of deferred maintenance, and get the city's infrastructure, everything underground, just really cherry.
Yeah.
And just set us up for a long time.
Set us up for the long haul. When you look back over your terms in our local government, what are a few of the things you're proud of?
Well, you mentioned the downtown project. That was a big one. I'm proud of the, last year we finally were able to contract out the wastewater treatment plant. So it's actually ran now by a private company, which saved the city of Brookings quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of our parks development. Azalea Park especially, it's been developed now. Again, it's like wrapping up a master plan that was 15 or 20 years in the making. And just over the last few years, we've seen a lot of it just come to fruition and boom, you know, the parks, it's a beautiful, beautiful park.
It's a beautiful facility, It's exciting when the bands come in the
summer.
Oh, yeah. And all the people show up, as long as the rain doesn't show up.
Yeah, but what a tremendous community event the concerts are. And once again, you know, provided by volunteers. Volunteers are who just make that happen and just give us this quality of life that we love here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all on the back of people willing to give.
You know, I really think there's something to be said for people stepping forward, raising their hand, saying, how may I serve? How may I give? That's how you build community.
Absolutely.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
I love it. That's really cool. And when you think about, you already kind of talked about the future, that you know everything coming together and continuing on this path of growth and building. Do you see at some point, this might be really a hot button issue, and I didn't think about that. But so when you look out into the future, and we have this region, I mean, I think of it as a region. I live in Harbor. I'm on the other side of the bridge, and I, you know, my mail says I live in Brookings. In fact, if I'm on a website. And I try to type in that I live in Harbor, Oregon. It kicks back and says, you cannot make this purchase because there is no such place as Harbor, Oregon. I'm like, yes, it is. Right. It's a census designated place.
Right.
Do you think there's an opportunity for the city and the township to come together? And what's in the way of that? Or what are the ways that that could work?
Well, it's definitely possible. Like I mentioned earlier, Harbor, a lot of people that live out in Harbor, they enjoy it being only a township and not have municipal government over top of them and not have to write the tax check to municipal government. And that's fine. And I understand that. So in the future, moving forward, and this has always been a hot button issue, annexation of Harbor. So in reality, how it works, the city of Brookings cannot go and gobble up Harbor.
Can't happen.
It can't happen.
It's not Pac-Man.
It's not going to happen. An annexation most likely would not happen at one time where most of Harbor or all of Harbor in one foul swoop gets annexed. That's not how it's going to happen.
Right.
What we could see is, you know, small chunks of property asking to annex. And again, we can't annex people. People ask to annex, and there's a public hearing of bringing them in.
Right.
But people in Harbor don't need to be afraid of Brookings wanting to gobble them up.
Brookings isn't coming to gobble, but people in Harbor could initiate if there was a desire in Harbor to do that.
Yeah. Yep. They could.
In fact, I saw recently there was a situation where there was a water facility in North Harbor that was privately owned, and the guy that owned it died, and then they put it up for a vote. Should we like combine our water services, I think, with Brookings? Do you know what that issue? I don't know what it was, but passed. I mean, it passed.
Combined with Brookings.
Yeah. It's something. Somehow, some way, everybody voted to say, yes, we're going to make. And I was kind of impressed that people actually were, amenable to each other and saying, hey, this is a community, you know, like, let's do the right thing for the community.
Yeah, times change. You know, people move in, people move out. A lot of Harborites and the typical Harborite, it's, you know, it's changing. So a lot of the, I would say, older guard, things change.
Yeah.
You know, things change. And
things
and the
change,
future
people change, yeah. Attitudes change.
It's about people, and people change, and players change. And so in the future, you know, 20 years from now, maybe it is just one big Brookings Harbor, city of Brookings Harbor.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the exact same way it is now,
right,
with Brookings and the Township of Harbor. And that's fine.
That's
we're still a community. We're still
right.
One community.
Yeah. We're still really one people here.
Absolutely.
On the southern Oregon coast. As I like to say it, I sort of wipe out Brookings and Harbor and just say, we're the gateway of the great Pacific Northwest.
There you go.
You know, you cross that border and it's like, hello, I'm just personally claiming that California is not part of the Pacific Northwest. I'm saying it. I'm staking my claim on that. But I'm saying once you pass that border and you cross over into Oregon, now you're in the great Pacific Northwest and we're the gateway of that.
Sure.
I think there's something to be said for.
Absolutely.
And you and I have actually talked about this in the past, just casually, as, you know, you're installing a thing or, you know, doing some kind of service. And I appreciate that. We've talked about sort of economic development and growth. And, you know, I'm kind of a geek for that stuff.
Yeah.
And I love it. It'll be fun to see how it shakes out. And I agree with you. People change, attitudes change. What I think would be really beautiful to see in our politics here in our region. And you know, for those folks who don't, haven't talked about this really ever, but I was involved in Democratic politics for nearly 20 years at a very high level, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I served a U.S. senator. I was a press secretary to a governor and to a attorney general. I have a lot of power politics background.
Gotcha.
Didn't love it. I did it. I was great at it, but it wasn't my thing. But here's something I learned for sure about that. Kindness, compassion can make a comeback if we make it come back. It depends on each of us. And I learned that civility in politics is really critical. And I think in politics, that's the thing we're missing these days is civility. You know, the fact that you're a volunteer, the fact that all the folks are volunteers, like we can be civil about that. We can say, okay, I might not have your position. I might disagree with, I might not agree with it, or I might fully agree with it. In any case, kindness, compassion, respect for position, for all those things, I think are important. And I think civility is really at the basis of it. And if you take that word one step further, civility, civilization, right? Come on now.
No, civility should reign. And that is an issue around here and just the way things are right now. I understand that issues can come up that people are incredibly passionate about.
Of course.
And so passionate about that they can throw civility out the window to, you know, but in Brookings, and I don't want to, well, I do kind of want to toot our horn as far as city government, because the city of Brookings and the city council, beyond my tenure in it, you know, for the last 15, 20 years has remained incredibly civil, incredibly civil, the council in dealing with each other. And that has been a key to our success. And we've been able to get a lot of things done.
Right.
And when you look at other governing bodies around this county, you can see how detrimental it can be to have
a lack of civility.
Yeah. And people, it's paralyzing. When people aren't getting along and there's personal attacks, it just paralyzes. Paralyzes everything.
It does. It's, you know, you can't live in fear and love at the same time. You just can't. You can live either in fear and in fear mode, attacking and scratching and, you know, being angry. Or you can live in love mode. And it doesn't mean, you know, love mode or being kind and compassionate to each other means that, well, we're not going to, you know, it just means that you approach things a little differently.
Right.
With kindness, with compassion,
right,
with respect,
absolutely,
with appreciation. Like, I'm among the group of people that really appreciates people like you, like the counselors, like the port commissioners, like anyone who's stepping forward and saying, I'm willing to serve. In fact, we've had a series of interviews here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Which, again, thank you for joining us. If you're just tuning in on KCIW radio, Curry County Community Radio, you know, this is a county, it's a community radio station. The whole idea of it is it's topics that might be interesting to people here in the community. Now, I'm not a radio professional. I'm just having fun here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour.
You're doing pretty well for being an amateur. You're
thank
saying
you.
You're an amateur, huh?
Right. I'm totally an amateur.
All
I've
right.
never done this
you're
before.
You're doing well.
And I'm having fun with it. And you know, it's one of those things, like, I'm stepping up. I'm raising my hand. I'm saying, how may I serve? Are there going to be people who say, how could she do that? Sure there will. You know what? Sorry. Yeah. I get to do my thing too, right? Yep.
Don't worry about it. You just keep moving forward. Do your thing.
And you know, to say what the young people say today, sorry, not sorry. You know, sorry, not sorry. I'm not sorry. I mean, hashtag sorry, not sorry. I'm here doing what I want to do. And what I wanted to tell you is that we recently had an interview with Linda Schreiber. Wonderful lady.
I know Linda.
She's amazing. Yeah. And I actually started out the interview with her just wanting to kind of get to know who she is and what she does, because she's one of those people who just, boom, raises her hand. What can I do? How can I serve? How can I help? She does the shoe distributions. She raises money for kids in homeschooling for scholarships.
She's a big homeschooling advocate.
Yep. Yeah, she's amazing. We called her a hometown hero. Like, we started this whole thing called Hometown Heroes. Those are the kind of people, in my opinion, that make a community, that make a house a home.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And rarely, you know, there's a lot of people that you never read about them in the paper.
Right.
They never are talking about what they're doing. And they're just quietly going about their business. They're serving the community.
Yep.
And it's great. And yeah, Linda Schreiber is a good example of that.
Yeah, she really is. I used to really be super actively involved in social media, like to the point where I had a big company. I still have the big company, a marketing firm that helps other people do social media. Now, I'm retired these days. I don't do it anymore, but super early adopter on. I still have a MySpace page, for goodness sake.
Is that still around?
Yes,
really?
It's still around. All right. I still get these messages for your top eight, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, MySpace and Facebook. I was a super early adopter on Facebook, Instagram, all these things.
Sure.
You know, I've been on these platforms for a super long time. The reason I'm telling you is that on Instagram, and you can find me on Instagram at Misty Young. You'll find me there on Instagram. A lot of times news sneaks in, right? Mainstream media sneaks into your news feed, and it's all negativity and ugliness and murders and rapes and robberies and all that stuff. And my feeling and violence as when you focus on those things, what you focus on expands. This is just my own personal perspective. So what you focus on expands. And I got to the point where these things were just filling up my news feed with ugliness and negativity. I was like, what is this?
Right.
Why is this in here? How did I follow these accounts? Wipe, 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 wipe.
Absolutely.
I wiped out a ton of stuff. Said, I'm not going to do that. And so I focused on all these really good news accounts instead. And it's a lot of fun. You know, you see stories like, you know, a little girl got a reading award. Now, most people are going to be like, oh, big deal. It is a big deal. If we're encouraging people to do good things, like Linda Schreiber, focusing on the people that are out there helping, you know, Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
One of my all-time favorite people.
Yeah, I grew up on Fred Rogers. Oh, yeah,
wasn't
absolutely.
Wasn't he great? Wasn't he just amazing? I love Fred Rogers. He used to say, you know, whenever there is an emergency, when there's a disaster, when there's a problem, look for the helpers, because those people are the ones that are not running away in fear. They're rushing in to help. And, you know, it might be true that people like Linda Schreiber are those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hometown heroes. Love it. So you're a dad.
I am a dad. I've got four just incredibly cool, beautiful children. Just very blessed. So my kids go from 6 to 13, two boys and two girls. You know, so my oldest is 13. So coming into a whole new era. And that's just really kind of bizarre. Something I wasn't quite prepared for. Young kids are a lot of work and they're tiring, but in a lot of ways they're very simple. They can be very simple. And then when you, when young men get into that teenage
mindset,
time and young ladies hit puberty, and it's a different game, and it's challenging, but it's really rewarding. You know, and other parents would understand this. It's really amazing to see your child just grow into themselves and just become this person.
Yeah.
And I have the opportunity to be a part of that little person's life. And it's an incredible blessing. And a big reason why I love living in Brookings is because I have children. And this is an incredible place to be with a family.
I agree with you. I think there's so many fun things for kids
absolutely.
To do here, and ways to be involved and ways to be active. You know, you're in great shape. So you must be doing things where you're actually physically fit. And what do you do to stay in good shape?
Well, great shape.
What's your routine?
I'm in excellent physical shape, I just heard. Okay.
All right.
Living around here, you have to be into the outdoors.
Yes.
You have to be in the outdoors or you're not taking advantage of the full experience here.
Yeah.
So I'm big into hiking, backpacking, camping. I love kayaking, being on the river. In fact, just this last weekend, I stayed the night up at Vulcan Lake with my 6-year-old first time of the year and had to walk through some snow to get up there. And it was still a little cold, but it's an incredible place. And so, yeah, you get out, stay active, and yeah, it keeps you in better shape.
So when you have visitors that come in to town, that come in to visit your family, what are maybe the top 3 hikes that you do? What are the things like, okay, we're definitely going to go do whatever it is?
Bomb site trail. Absolutely.
Ooh, okay.
Japanese bomb site trail. I always take them to Checo Point.
Okay.
That's not much of a hike, but that's a nice little walk out there.
Yep.
And then I'll try to do one of the Oregon coastal trails. And those are all over the place. And you just drive on the highway and you see the little Oregon coastal trail post and just take one of the legs. And I've done plenty of them. And every one I've ever done, I was pleased to do.
Nice. When you say the Oregon coastal trails, are those on the Samuel H. Boardman corridor?
Yeah. No? So it's the whole, it's the coast of Oregon.
I think,
yeah.
Wow.
You can keep going.
So. I'll have to look for those. I'm not seeing those trail signs in my head, although I've done a lot of the hikes.
Yeah.
On the coast.
Yeah. They're there. The whole Oregon coast.
Cool. That's really cool. Have you hiked, are you familiar with the hike up the, I'm sure you've done this hike, and I can't remember what it's called, the actual name of it. We call it the Oxygen Loop because it's such a beautiful hike. It's the one you go up south, you go up North Bank to Loeb Park, and then just past Loeb
the
Park.
The one on the left.
The one on the left. Yeah. I think it's Redwood.
I don't remember what it's called, but that's a nice one. That was probably, I think that may have been the very first hike I ever took in this area.
No kidding.
Yep. Yeah. Very first one. So
it's one of the first hikes I've taken too, that I did when I first got here, and I was blown completely away.
No, that's a classic. Classic.
It is classic. Yeah.
Another good one that a lot of people don't know about is it's fairly short, but the Oregon Redwoods hike off of Peavine Road up to Windchuck.
Yeah.
That's a gorgeous
it's
little
a great
hike. Gorgeous little hike. And easy.
Beautiful. Super easy. Yeah.
Not too hard. So you just get out and hike around.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, Rusty, that guy's
old
like
Rusty.
16 or 17. How old is that dog?
Oh, I don't know. He's just old.
He's just old. There are times, literally, I swear this is true. I'm really embarrassed to say this, but there are times when I cruise by on railroad and I can see him laying in the doorway. I'm like, oh, God, it's Rusty. I pull my car over. I go in. I give him a couple pets.
Oh, good. Good for
He's
you.
So cute.
There's times I walk in the morning and I see him over there laying and I have to watch him for a while. Make sure his chest chest is still moving and old Rusty, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's cool. Getting back to hikes, one of my favorite hikes and one that, depending on the health of the person who's here, and I think this is world-class hiking, is Cape Sebastian.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something.
Yeah. There's a piece of me that kind of wants to cheat on that hike. I want to take a car up top and a car down below.
No, I've never done that,
but I'm tempted. I like that rope part at the very end.
Yeah.
And I've had to, taken a lot of people down there, and I'm always like, don't try to go down that forward, like this is one of those things, like you get to the rope, you turn your body around and you go butt first.
Yeah,
down.
You gotta go butt first on that one.
I know, and I've seen so many people, they're like trying to use the rope to steady themselves as they're moving forward.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're gonna fall on your face.
Yep, not how you do it.
Yeah,
not
on the rocks.
How you do it.
No, thank you. So you said you kayak.
Yeah.
I've never done it. I want to know how.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I've
never kayaked.
Yeah, kayaking. So you can ocean kayak or river kayak. I've done them both.
Yep.
Had fun doing them both. Got in trouble doing them both.
Uh-oh.
You know, yeah. If you're not careful, that's no horsing around.
Can you go upside down in a kayak? Is that one of the things that you're concerned about?
Oh yeah, that's the deal. Yeah, that's the thing. And so I've been rescued by Coast Guard once on the ocean. Yeah, it was one of the first times I'd ever been out, and just didn't really know as well as what I thought I knew. And, sure enough, got turned over, couldn't get back in. And so they came and got me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, God bless them. But in the river, the river is what I mainly kayak. And, you just go up to one of the river bars and put in and float on down. And it's just a nice, easy, beautiful float down the river. And that's a local thing. People have been doing that for, ever. You know, that's the thing to do when you grew up here. So
yeah, I regret terribly. This is I'm going to make a big admission here. A friend of mine moved last summer from Brookings after living here for a number of years, and she moved to Florida. And I'm actually kind of hoping that she'll listen to this show because she invited my husband and I over. She said, I've got some things I'm going to sell in there. I have full kayak packages.
Oh, yeah. Right? You should have snagged them.
I know. We get to the house. It's like everything's there. The kayaks, the little paddle thingies, the vest things. I think she had helmet. I mean, literally everything was there. And my husband was like, he was gripey about it. And he wouldn't even engage in the conversation. I was like, I feel like it was such a disaster.
Oh, that's
not
crazy.
To get those,
I'll
right?
talk to him. I'll Aww. Talk to him. He needs to get out.
He needs to, right? He needs to get out on the water.
Absolutely.
We've never been on the water in our ocean ever, never in this whole time we've lived here. And in the rivers, all we've ever done really is waded and, you know, did a little swimming, which is fun, but fun to get out.
You gotta get the full meal deal. You gotta experience the whole thing.
When you talk about, you know, living here, you really have to be an outdoors person. What are some other fun things that you guys do?
Well, we fish. I try to fish. Yeah. I have
if you have any time, right?
Time. Someday I'll be able to fish more. So, but I've tried to fish, tried to hunt. Not incredibly successful at either.
Yeah.
But it's still a good time. You know, you're still out. Still
outdoors,
out.
Doing stuff, having fun. I think it would be really cool to have a roller skating rink in our town. Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, you know, we've had a roller skating rink. It's roller skating rinks and bowling alleys. Unfortunately, those are like two things that just seem to be kind of
maybe old school.
Yeah, just kind of going away.
Yeah.
But I think there was a loss to the community with both of those. So it would be cool. I mean, I'm only 35, but when I was young, you know, I there were a lot of firsts for me at roller skating rinks, you know, in the good old days, you know, when the couples only sign clicks on
and you
got a good song on there. Yeah, that's it, man.
Right,
that's it.
You.
So
it's funny. We both remember that. Oh, and let's all skate in the normal direction.
Yeah.
All skate.
I can feel my face getting red.
I know, me too. I'm like, I got my fan out. That's awesome. Well, I think there's a way to make some of those things come back. And it's kind of coming back to this idea that, you know, we talked about earlier that kindness and courtesy can make a comeback too, but it depends on each of us, right?
Yeah.
Individually, it depends on us. And I really am a big believer in this concept that what you focus on expands. You know, if I focus on all the negative things that our president does in office, I could get depressed pretty easily.
Incredibly easily.
And instead, what I choose to focus on are what are some actions that I can personally take that might make a difference. So, for example, I've really decided that climate change is a big freaking deal. It's a big deal. And I've been doing a tremendous amount of research on it over the last few months. And I'm also a nutrition geek. Like that's my geekery is nutrition. And so I'm studying all kinds of stuff. And it turns out that one of the best things that we can do individually for climate change is to go vegan. Because, for example, to create 1 pound of meat takes something crazy like 5,000 gallons of water. But to create 1 pound of something like Beyond Meat, which is made with peas, you know, green peas and a bunch of other stuff, it takes something like 96% less water. It's crazy. But it's not just water, it's the emissions, it's the gases, it's, you know, it's the production process of growing all this food to feed to all the animals, not feeding it to people. It's just crazy.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So what I try to do in my life is say, what can I do personally to make a difference, right? So can I use a glass water bottle instead of a plastic, single-use plastic bottle? You know, can I drive a car that has less emissions than more emissions?
Sure.
You know, this is crazy. Can I reuse a Ziploc bag? You know,
you actually can.
Right. Yeah. And I used to think it was sort of cheapskatey, like, ew, you're going to reuse a plastic bag. Eh.
Right.
Right. But it's like, come on. Yeah. You know, like we got a planet. There is no planet B. This is our planet.
Right.
It seems kind of crazy that we're not taking good care of it.
I think climate change and in our role in that, I think figuring that out, and if the generation coming, I think this is a given. It's not an argument.
No.
Not an argument anymore.
Agreed.
And, you know, the climate is changing. We can have an effect on it, and we need to have an effect on it. It's a matter of time. I think young people, like I said, it's a given.
Yeah.
It's just a given now. The argument's over.
Right.
And I tell you, when a political party, you know, understands that, grabs the hold of that, you know, the idea that you can be a conservative and still care about the climate, that's a reality.
Yeah.
And I hope that that my Republican friends and, you know, and conservative parties can can realize that.
Yeah.
You have just a new generation of young people coming up, and we care about it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. In fact, I mentioned that, you know, on Instagram, I've really started to kind of focus, change my focus. And I don't watch news. I rarely read news. I'm just like not into news. I don't dig on news. But I found Greta Thunberg. Greta Thunberg is a kid, literally. She just turned 16 and she's very petite and very immature. Like she's a 16-year-old girl who still looks like she's 12 and wears long braids down the front of her body. And she has catapulted literally from absolute nowhere last August when she decided to do these climate strikes.
Really?
So she does. Yeah, she's amazing. So she does these climate strikes. She started by, she's in Switzerland. And she started on Fridays last year in August. She did her very first one where she just by herself, little 15-year-old girl, went to Parliament and sat with a sign. I can't speak what their language is, but it says essentially school striking for climate, something like that.
Something
I don't
like
know
that,
what it says, but it says school striking for climate by herself. And now, in such a short time, I mean, it's still April while we're talking, she has created a massive following, a massive global movement where she's like speaking to Parliament and speaking to the EU and speaking at Davos. And
good for her at that age.
Right. Wow. Had an interview with the Pope last week. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Wow,
so she just turned 16 a couple months ago, but she's phenomenal. It gives me goosebumps even to think about what she does, because she gets up and she says, I don't want your hope. I mean, she's talking like she went to, what's that big event they have every year in Davos? It's the big financial thing. I forget what it's called. It's the world financial, whatever.
Got
it is.
You.
It's the big financial thing. And it happens in Davos every year. And all the big wigs in money from around the planet show up. And she got invited to speak to them. And she was like, you know, all these people making unimaginable amounts of money by exploiting the climate. And she says, I don't want your hope. I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear that I feel every day. And I think about your kids ranging in age from 6 to 13 and what they might have in their future if we don't get a hold of our climate. And if we don't get a hold of washing a freaking baggie, right? I know that sounds so crazy, but it's not. It's little things.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's a changing culture needs to be completed. I think it started. I think culture has begun to change. And just in time, I think that that change will be complete, and it'll be a culture of conserving and you know, just more environmentally conscious.
Yeah, you said earlier, I think coming full circle, you mentioned something about sustainability in just in the political climate, right? And sustainable Brookings and sustainable our region. And I really do think there's a whole sustainability mindset that's coming up. I love that your kids are 6 to 13. My grandchildren are ages 1 to 8. There's four of them. There's twins that are 8 years old. So,
8-year-old twins, that's got to be fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. I got to tell you, we had them up to the house recently, all four grandkids with no parents, right? So we're like, we're thinking, oh, we're rock star grandparents. Like, we'll go pick up the grandkids. And, you know, we don't do it so much for us or for the grandkids, frankly. I hope our daughters are listening. We really do this for our kids, for our daughters, right? To give them a break.
Give them a break.
And, and give them respect and appreciation for all that they do for our family. And of course, we love the grandchildren. But it's always funny, the day that we usually meet, everybody else lives in Reno, right? So we live here in Brookings. They live in Reno. We meet sort of halfway at Mount Shasta. And we make the trade-off. We always laugh. We're like, this is like some kind of weird drug deal.
Some
like,
kind of deal going down.
Yeah, there's a deal going down. Like all these cars converge and then the people get together and then they drive away, you know. And we make the trade-off of the kids.
Yeah, but shake hands and drive away.
Yep, pretty much that's what it is. And then when we drop the kids off down at Shasta again after a week with them, we literally come home and we have what we call our grandparental coma. Complete with thumb sucking.
Yep.
You know, like grandparents have downtime. All shades are drawn. All curtains are drawn.
Yep. Pass out for a day and a half. Yep.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. But when I think about what those kids are going to be facing, the world is going to look different. I think just from, and I agree with you when you said, you know, the argument's done. It's done. There is no more argument. It's done. Climate is changing. There's no way around it. It is changing. But there might be some things that we could still do. In fact, if you follow Greta Thunberg, she's like, here's the things you can do right now to make a difference. Interestingly, this is really weird. The science says there are a few places in the world that are going to benefit from climate change, and Oregon is number 3 on the list.
Really?
For benefit.
I had not heard that yet. That's interesting.
I'll see if I can find that for whatever it's worth.
That's something.
If I can find that resource again, I'll email it to you. But I don't know if I have your email address. Is that available on like the city website or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. But the things that, I thought it was too. The things that it was saying was that number one, a longer growing season. Number two, people would be moving from places that are hotter or going underwater or whatever and coming to Oregon again.
Oh,
number
sure.
three. Yeah. So we're going to have an influx.
Sure.
You and I may not be here to see all that stuff. We may not, but the kids
maybe
surely
not.
Will. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I have a little piece of Oregon for that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I sure would like to see our Earth be around, you know?
Yeah. I don't want my children at, you know, when they're 45, 50 years old.
Yeah.
I just don't want them to think back and go, man, what were they thinking? What were my folks thinking?
Right.
So I would hope that I would instill in my children that culture of conservation and just environmental consciousness that it is something that can be ruined.
Yes.
You know, it in fact can be ruined.
It can be ruined.
And we can take it from ourselves. And that's the thing. We can actually just take it from ourselves and cut ourselves short.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy when you think about it, that human beings could potentially be that powerful, you know? Thank you for joining us today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. If you've tuned in, you're visiting a conversation with Mayor Jake Pieper. He's the mayor of Brookings, Oregon. Again, I like to think of Brookings as this little slice of heaven here in the great southern Oregon corner.
Slice of heaven.
Slice of heaven, yeah. My husband actually likes to call our area here the Carmel of Oregon, you know? And you know I'm kind of a marketing geek, like in my background, like marketing's my big thing.
Yep.
Like this whole idea that you can have fun in the banana belt sun, you know, think of this as the banana belt. I think of it as the gateway of the great Pacific Northwest. There's so many ways. And I think about Bandon, right? When I go up the coast and they're like, they're not just Bandon. What are they? They're Bandon by the sea, right? Like they coined their little phrase. And I mean, we don't need to create a whole, you know, marketing campaign, but I do think about the beach, you know, the beach is a big deal. In fact, I have an idea. I wasn't going to go there, but it just popped into my head, but I have an idea.
Let's have it.
I feel like we could do a better job in Harbor, and I know you're not the Harbor mayor, and there's no mayor in Harbor.
Yep.
How come we can't advertise the Sport Haven Beach better on 101? Like, draw people off to go down. There's all kinds of stuff that says there's the port there and there's the Coast Guard, but if I'm a tourist, I'm like, I don't care about a port, and I don't care about a Coast Guard, but it could say beach.
The beach.
The beach.
The beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Yeah, that's one of the living out in a township.
Yes.
There's give and takes, and one thing that you don't have is the sort of structure to do something like that and to mold a community the way that maybe you want to mold it.
How would we do? What could happen? I mean, what would be the process that would happen if Harbor wanted to like become a city? What would happen? I don't really know.
They could incorporate just by themselves, and there's a process through the state, I'm sure to go through that, which is a possibility, you know, and keep separate and not necessarily join Brookings or not necessarily creating something new.
Right.
But I grew up in southeastern Washington, in Walla Walla, and we were just north of a city called Milton Freewater. And you could guess that way back when it was Milton and Freewater.
Oh, right.
And, you know, after years of...
wrangling.
Yeah, wrangling no and being wrangling. Separate. You know, yes. At some point, some city fathers, some leadership around decided that we'd be better off if we just joined together. We got in the same boat.
Right.
And we are one now.
Nice.
So.
And Milton Freewater.
Milton Freewater.
Yeah.
Brookings Harbor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm open to it. I'd welcome something like that, you know.
I would too, personally. Yeah. I know there's going to be people listening in that are like, the hairs go up on the back of their neck.
Right.
They're like, and, what is she saying?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying what I'm saying.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. And that might, you know, that could lose me some votes too.
Sure.
But
whatever.
It, you got, that's the way it is.
You're in this position to make the best decision you can with the best information available at the time that you're making the decision.
Yep. That's
so
the deal.
Respect and courtesy and kindness and appreciation.
Respect and courtesy. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm down with all of that. You're here on KCIW 100.7 FM, or if you're listening in on the podcast at your time, anytime, you can be listening in on our podcast, or you might be listening in on the radio. Thank you for being here. I'm your host, Misty Young. I'm meeting with Jake Pieper. He is the mayor of Brookings, Oregon, right here in Little Brookings. You know, we talk about the beach. I like to say, if you go to the beach, you can be a kid again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what do you see when kids go to the beach? What do?
They just run around.
Right.
Yeah, they just get crazy. They just run around. Shoes come off. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you just try to tell them to stay out of the water, and you realize that just doesn't
That's
work.
That's not going to work, right?
Yeah, so you just let them do their thing.
Yeah. We went to a sneaker wave presentation last fall, and a meteorologist, Ryan Sandler, came from Medford. And this was up at the Gold Beach Library. And he's giving this whole presentation. And Ryan's going to be a guest on our show in the future.
Huh.
He says, so the number one thing I can tell you is don't play tag with the ocean. I was like, what? Like, everybody plays tag
with
the ocean.
Who doesn't play tag with the ocean?
It's not just kids. I mean, I see the ocean a lot. I'm looking at the beach a lot. And everybody plays tag with the ocean.
Everybody
Dogs, grandparents, everybody does. But I love the idea that you can come to the beach and be a kid again. And you know what else? I wish we had more oceanfront dining in our town. Like, that's one of the weirdest things to me. Like,
not too much of it.
I don't think we have any. I mean, I think the closest thing we have to oceanfront dining is the beachfront bistro down at the port, right? Is there any other?
No. The Whale's Head, the latest Whale's Head restaurant, I believe, closed down too.
Wow.
But, you know, a great thing about Oregon is not having a commercialized coastline, a total commercialized beach.
Yes.
You know, that's a great part of living in the state.
Yeah.
But that also means that there's no restaurants built on that beach.
You know, I didn't really think about that. What does that mean, not having a commercial? Like, is there a state law or something that says,
back, Governor, his name's escaping me, McGovern?
I don't know.
You know, made all the beaches in Oregon public.
Wow.
And that's the way it's been.
Way it is.
Yeah. And so you drive the Oregon coast, and much of it is state parks and public land.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it is. And you know, that's why it's still nice.
Pristine.
That's why it's still beautiful here.
Yeah.
That's why we get to use the beach the way we do, because it's not privatized. It's open to everyone.
Yeah.
It's everyone's beach. And it's, I like it that way.
Yeah. So I like it too.
I can eat my meal up on the road and then come down to the beach.
Yeah.
I
appreciate that. That's true. You had mentioned earlier that you got in trouble out on the water and the Coast Guard came and saved you.
Yep.
How cool is it that right here in our tiny little town, in this bottom tiny little corner of Oregon, that we have a Homeland Security facility, a base. We have a base right here.
Yeah. And a real one,
with
real capabilities.
Yep.
And it was definitely very cool when I needed them.
Yes.
So, that was really something. And they, our Coast Guard here is, you know, predominantly search and rescue.
Yep.
That's what they do.
Yep.
And they do it very well. And we've been fortunate to have good leadership there at that station. Just phenomenal leadership.
They're doing a great job.
Yeah, they really are.
Isn't it fun when you think about, you know, the diversity that we have here in our town?
It is very diverse here.
It is.
It's an interesting thing. A lot of, you know, the history here being logging and fishing and still having the mill here, which is still the largest employer in the city.
Yeah.
But then also having this influx of a lot of retirees and, you know, people that would refer to this as a Carmel of Oregon.
Right.
You know, that's something that an old logger wouldn't say, right? So, you know, it's a diverse area. And like we were talking about earlier, finding common ground in shaping what our community is going to look like moving forward.
Yeah.
Those two things, mm-hmm. Respecting and admiring the what built this area,
yeah,
and paying homage to that and having deep respect for that.
Yes.
But also looking forward and what's our economy right now and where is it going? Where are we going? We know where we've been. Again, respecting that, mm-hmm. and keeping with that, but moving forward and finding the common ground and community vision for that move.
Well, you have to have an eye on the rear view mirror, right? Recognizing that logging, for example, has been the thing that, you know, the lumber, the timber industry built.
And still is. And so it's not something that's over and done with. And I hear that. I hear it spoken about that way a lot.
Yeah.
It's not. It's here. It's sustainable.
Right.
The mill has done an incredible job of setting themselves up to be sustainable here.
And to continue to be successful.
And it's going to remain a huge player in the city of Brookings because it employs, the last I heard is about 500 people.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole lot of people. So it's an important thing. I support the mill. I always have.
Yeah.
And as a community, we need to support that mill. But, you know, moving forward, a lot of different people here. We're not just a bunch of loggers and fishermen anymore.
Right.
So, you know, we can find a way, and we are kind of melding these two things together.
Right.
And, creating a community that we just enjoy.
You know, when I worked for the Attorney General, she used to say, we have to bring as many people to the table as we can. And the wider we can make our embrace, the more people we can bring to the table, the more diversity we'll have, the more ideas we'll have, the more understanding we'll have from each other. Because we were talking about the mill, I have a question, and
sure.
You may or may not be able to answer it. Is it a requirement if you go and clear cut, or if you're cutting, is there also a constant replanting of trees? Is that like part of the process of logging? I don't really know.
Oh, so I'm not a logger, and I wouldn't try to, you know, make a definitive statement.
Yeah.
I know that in my, you know, being out in the woods, I see areas that are replanted and I see areas that aren't.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, and again, I don't really have any authority to like speak on the matter. I'm not a tree guy, but I would imagine, because I've seen areas that are clear cut and the climate we live in, there's stuff growing back. I would imagine there's a lot of areas that don't need to be replanted.
Yeah.
Where there's smaller, you know, seedlings or whatever that when the bigger trees come down, it just
naturally happens.
Yeah. They can fill back in.
I know I mentioned we go to Reno a lot, and just having done this trip yesterday, we always come up through Susanville and Hat Creek and what we call the back door.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this goat fire that the seedlings are coming up so much to the point that the sign is almost obscured.
Wow.
So, well, this has just been really cool. I appreciate
it. This has been fun.
Yeah, I appreciate
this has been
that you
fun.
Took time. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to?
Oh, no. I think I'm good for today.
We did good.
Good for today.
All right.
Yeah, we did good.
Well, Mayor Jake Pieper here from the city of Brookings, Oregon on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Thanks for being part of this here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Look forward to seeing you out and about.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. We'll be right back.